Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Joe Biden, apparently, he's doing more deportations than Trump. Specifically, deporting more asylum seekers than Trump did.
Well, yeah, we don't have the other categories of deportations. This is the numbers that that we came across, and it's a shocking number.
I don't know the entire number, but I have here the U.S. removed over 6,000 Haitian asylum seekers from the border at Del Rio. So that's just Haitian asylum seekers, just, you know, recently with, you know, the whips and horses. Did you see that?
Oh, I saw that. Very scary stuff.
Yep. There was ICE agents, or I guess they're ICE, just Border Patrol agents.
Border Patrol.
On horseback, whipping people.
Yeah, like
ridiculous.
Cattle.
Yeah, like cattle, like wrangling them with whips and hitting them with a long whip.
It looked incredibly frightening and scary to be in that situation with a bunch of armed men on horses attacking people who are just trying to escape the hellish life of living in Haiti.
Yep.
And do you think the Biden voters expected this to happen? Because the people on the left, like Biden, love to position themselves as the friend of the immigrants.
Yep, they acted like Trump was the worst for immigration. And right when immigration, right when Joe Biden got elected, like somebody I know got a deportation letter. It was just, and they were telling him, oh, it's been a lot worse recently under Biden.
According to the story here, CNBC, Biden administration appealing a judge's order to stop using a Trump-era pandemic policy that allows for the rapid expulsion of migrants without giving them a chance to apply for asylum. So they're using COVID as the excuse. The department's...
It's just COVID. That's why we had to have horseback riders whipping
whips,
people.
Because of COVID.
It's just due to COVID.
The Department of Justice filed an appeal of U.S. District Judge Emmett Sullivan's ruling Thursday that bars the federal government from expelling migrants under the public health law known as Title 42. Sullivan ordered the ruling to go into effect in 14 days. The appeal is the latest move by the Biden administration to address the 20-year high surge of migrants from Mexico and Central America crossing the border illegally, which remains a political flashpoint between Republicans and progressive Democrats. Title 42 was first introduced by Donald Trump in March of 2020 over concerns about the coronavirus pandemic. It gave the government the power to turn back any migrant caught crossing the border illegally, regardless of their country of origin, to supposedly stop COVID-19. So if you had managed to escape from North Korea and you had made it to the United States, which is no easy task, mind you, it's one thing to get here from Haiti or Guatemala or Honduras or something. It's a whole other story to get here from North Korea. But if you'd managed to and they caught you.
Due to COVID-19, you got to go back to North Korea.
They'd send you back. You had read it. I think it was a quote from a Haitian man who was, I guess, harassed by Border Patrol. And he said that the U.S. government
has no conscience.
Yeah. Now, I don't think the Haitian government has a conscience either. I don't think the North Korean government has a conscience. The Russian government has no conscience. Even though there are human beings who are in these jobs, they are part of this crazy
system.
Religion. It's a system, but it's also like a religion.
Yeah.
Because, and you can see it really in effect in like the court system, for instance, where it's not the judge. Mr. So-and-so, Judge Burke, he's not doing things to you.
And he really doesn't believe it.
He's the court. When he's got the robe on and he's sitting up high above everybody else in the room, he is no longer, I'm using Ed Burke as an example just because longtime listeners know who that is. That's the longtime district court judge here in Keene, New Hampshire. He's since retired. But
we saw him the other day.
Yeah, he drove by the other day and we waved.
By our house.
Yeah, we waved. But he's no longer Ed Burke. He's not even Judge Ed Burke. He's the court. Just to come back around to the state as this automaton. So even though it's human beings that are doing these things, when they're in the role that they've been assigned to play, all the whole idea of like acting human towards another person just seems to go out the window. They get this dead look on their face. I gave you another example of this the other day too. There was a woman that we ran into, or just I saw her. I forget which store. We were at some store,
grocery store.
And she smiled and you know acknowledged me and said hello, and I said hello back to her, and I said to you, that's the lady that destroyed children's like chalking, basically not children's chalking, but there was. One year at the county fair, she's like the fair supervisor who helps people find where their booth is supposed to be set up. So she's kind of like the grounds supervisor at the fairgrounds. And this isn't even a government job. This is like just a job where it's a private piece of private property. And it's the county fair is on private property here. So it's not a government agency. But although, to be fair, she is a government bureaucrat who works for the county prosecutor's office.
But people will go crazy over power in any situation where they feel like they have it, like in a church.
Yeah.
If you're the church, if you're the leader of some little part or thing that's going on, the cakewalk.
You guys were talking about automatons.
Mm-hmm.
You know who's the worst automaton in this world?
Who?
Libertarian.
What do you mean?
Because the minute you do, most of them are absolute anarchists. I'm not. And the minute you don't toe the line on an issue that they are emotional about, they will cut you off and treat you like you are horrible. And it's ridiculous the way we are. We say we're about liberty and dealing with other people. But the minute our own people disagree with us on something, we start name-calling. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I mean, everybody is on their own path, and not everybody's ever going to agree on everything. And if you can't get along with people, you really don't belong in a movement that you want to get, you know, that you want to expand. You got to be willing to meet people halfway sometimes.
Yeah, and that my way or the highway mentality does no good, especially when we're standing on the abyss of forever right now.
Mm-hmm.
We've got so much stuff coming at us. There are people who are 61% literate in their own language,
mm-hmm.
which ain't even Spanish, it's French Creole.
Well, that doesn't mean that they can't learn,
So again, the American taxpayer has to.
No, the American taxpayer needs to stop paying taxes.
Yeah, the problem is the government stealing money from the American taxpayer.
I understand that, but because they're stealing it from us, they're just going to give it to somebody else.
That's how they do, man.
Give it back.
That's what the government does. They steal from you and they give it to the politically connected classes.
And guess what? Those aren't the politically connected classes. If we, the people, ever want something, we're going to have to stand up across the board and tell our government no.
That's what's going to have to happen. I don't disagree with you there.
As a distraction as well.
Well, that's the thing,
Kirby. All the other stuff that's going on.
Here's the thing. You know, Americans are too cowardly to stand up and, you know, actually oppose their government in any significant manner.
Well, yeah, because when you do, the people who are so-called on your side call you all kinds of foul names.
This Title 42 that they're using to deport asylum seekers specifically came into play during the so-called pandemic. So even though Trump had 4 years, he really only had like a year. So Biden is still outstripping Trump, though, on this, basically, at the rate that he's deporting people.
Even if he was deporting people at the same rate as Trump, it's just kind of funny because the American voters who voted for Biden voted for him because they thought he was going to be love and light and, you know, liberty for all.
Yeah, he loves immigrants. Oh, wait, no, they're whipping them and, you know, grabbing them, deporting them, sending them back to whatever hellscape they've come from. By the way, Haiti is the poorest country in, like, the Northern Hemisphere.
Wow.
Or the Western, this area of the world. Well, very poor. And Kirby was on the line a moment ago, and he was saying that he didn't want to see these folks let in. And you were going to, I think, say something about that.
I was going to say that Kirby said that, and my opinion about it is a little bit different than Kirby's. Kirby thinks that the U.S. government owes us something because we've allowed them to steal from us all this time, and now they need to, you know, pay us back. I think that Americans need to just forget about the loss because, you know, you can't really get it back. You're not going to demand, you're going to all stand up in unison and demand the U.S. government give us something. It's just not going to happen.
A lot of the people who believe in this whole border crackdown, like, you know, stop the Haitians, stop the Mexicans, etc., kind of belief system, you know, they actually believe that somehow they can be stopped. And if you actually, generally the freedom mindset is, you know, the government can't do what it wants to do. Like, they fail at whatever it is they set out to do. They failed at winning in Afghanistan, which is one of the poorest countries on earth. They failed at ending poverty in the United States. They're making it worse. They failed at the war on drugs. I mean, you name it. They can't build roads. I mean, they just suck at everything that they do. What do you think? The border control bureaucrats are all of a sudden more efficient than every other bureaucracy out there? You think you can just throw more money at ICE and that they're going to get better at what they do? No, they're just a bunch of bureaucrats, just like every other government bureaucracy. They're incredibly wasteful. They're incredibly unnecessary. And all they want to do is get bigger. So they love it when people call for more border restrictions. They want to have more men with whips on horses. They want to have more, you know, dogs, and they want to have more trucks, and they want to make things scary. And remember, the more stringent a border security force is, the more difficult it is to leave. So if there's a wall up, that wall works both ways. Do people not care about that? Do you think that's okay?
Well, they're getting money taken, or they're getting money, you know, monthly from the government. They just want to comfortably live their lives. They don't want things to change. So they probably don't think that they'll ever want to leave.
I wanted to share a little info about the border that never gets talked about.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've noticed, but they funnel them to either one end or the other. You know, first it was California for Trump to scare everybody. And then it's on Texas. Well, when I crossed in Arizona in the Nogales border, I ended up in the wrong line. I was in the trucker line. So I got rerouted over to where they check all the fruit and all that. And I ended up on the dock for about an hour, and I just start chit-chatting with the guys. I'm like, hey, how come there's no refugees around here? Where's all the people trying to sneak in? He goes, yeah, that's not around here.
Huh.
He said that anybody they catch, they send them to the other end. So they're literally bussing them in to this one point.
So they're making it look worse on purpose.
They're making it look worse than it is on purpose for political reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're just gathering people up all along the border, and they ship them all over there to make it look like some dramatic thing that's happening. And, you know, I live in Mexico half of the year, so I'm crossing the border constantly. And, you know, I don't see that anywhere where I'm crossing. There's not crowds of people hanging out other than the ones trying to sell you fruit and, you know, big hats.
It's a story about what happens when you limit birthright citizenship and stir up hate against a certain class of immigrants. It takes place in the Dominican Republic. And like most countries in the Americas, for a century and a half, they had constitutionally guaranteed birthright citizenship for anyone born on Dominican Republic soil, with a couple of exceptions: the children of diplomats and short-term travelers. And like most other people in the Americas, Dominicans have had a more complicated relationship with immigration than the framers of the Constitution might have anticipated. The Dominican Republic has long been dependent on a stream of cheap immigrant labor that cuts its sugarcane, builds its buildings, and staffs its beach resorts that draw in billions of foreign dollars every year. Almost all of that labor comes from the only country close enough and poor enough to have people who want to immigrate in large numbers to the DR, Haiti. And some working-class Dominicans without Haitian roots resent their poorer neighbors being willing to accept lower wages and tough conditions. So, sounds familiar, right?
Yep, sounds familiar.
Many wealthy Dominicans who profit wildly off the cheap labor supply are eager to have strict immigration laws in place, too. Not because they want less immigration, but because they want a freer hand. Just like you were saying earlier, Bonnie, about people that are the employers of illegal immigrants in the United States. They like that agreement. They like being able to have that level of control over those people, because if we had free immigration, they wouldn't have that control. Those people would be able to go work wherever they wanted to.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy, so I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
They got rid of birthright citizenship and looked down their noses at Haitians.
They looked down at their noses at Haitians because they believe that it's better to be Spanish than to be French.
Yeah, they're suggesting that there's more European in the people in the DR rather than in Haiti, and so therefore they're superior and whatever. I mean, there's always excuses for racism, right? Yeah. And so they have their own. Well, the courts didn't like what the Dominican Republic did, and this was in the 1990s and the early 2000s. This was when the Dominican Republic politicians tried to stretch a loophole in birthright citizenship to claim that anyone from Haiti was considered in transit, meaning that they weren't there permanently, they were just there visiting. So therefore, they can't be considered citizens due to birthright if they had children. And they literally like tore up children's birth certificates and essentially tried to recategorize hundreds of thousands of people. Now, international courts didn't like this. The Inter-American Court of Human Rights ruled that the Dominican government's treatment of people of Haitian descent violated not only international human rights law, but also the Dominican Constitution. In response, Dominican presidents ignored the rulings and ultimately pulled out of the treaty establishing the court itself. In 2010, the government called a constitutional convention in large part to exclude a new group from the birthright citizenship clause, the children of anyone, quote, residing illegally in Dominican territory. A fundamental fact that sometimes gets missed in discussions about laws and court rulings is they're just words on paper. What those words signify to the people they govern is often just as important as what the law actually says. For instance, in the original 1865 Jus Soli, or place of birth, birthright citizenship provision in the Dominican Republic, enacted 3 years before the U.S. emerged from the Civil War with a 14th Amendment and its own provision, signaled a vision of the new Dominican state as a place open to just about everyone. As the historian Ann Eller has written, the provision came in a moment of heightened international cooperation when Haitians, who had thrown off French colonialism and slavery more than 60 years earlier, helped Dominicans win their final and lasting independence from Spain.
That's interesting.
The 2010 Constitution and the tribunal's subsequent ruling signaled the opposite, that the Dominican Republic should be a place where poorer, blacker, and more vulnerable workers, the Haitians, were not welcome. And Dominican nationalists were determined to push that message to the hilt. Armed with the new ruling, known simply as La Sentencia, literally the verdict, the whole country seemingly prepared itself for a mass expulsion. The military-ready deportation buses and border processing centers, sounds familiar, for the 2015 registration deadline in June. Online trolls threatened critics and spread racist invective. Facebook and Twitter were filled with an ultra-nationalist, anti-Haitian narrative of Dominican history, which erased historic alliances and played up real and imagined abuses. No, actually, turns out that the Dominican Republic is a very unfriendly place if you're a Haitian. It is full of people who are very nasty, and they have managed to get in control of the government there. So, you know, it might not have been like this in the 1800s when both sides of the island were relatively friendly toward one another. And things have deteriorated to the point where people who are nationalists of the Dominican Republic, a lot like American nationalists, who believe that this should be some sort of a closed club.
Yeah, like as if it's a, you know, as if it matters what where you were born on a map.
Some people seem to think so for whatever reason. They've got all their reasons, whether it's, oh, they're going to try to, you know, commit terrorism on us, or they're going to take our jobs. We had another call point out tonight. They're not taking American jobs. They're taking jobs that Americans don't want.
Yeah, and where I'm from in San Antonio, immigrants are often the people feeding people in the kitchens and, you know, in cook positions in restaurants. Worked in several restaurants,
which is not necessarily a job that is unwanted by Americans, but they're definitely working, you know, in some roles where you can't find Americans who are willing to step up.
I mean, I think a cook is a pretty hard job, and
it's not easy. There's no doubt about it. In late 2015, the author says he visited some of the makeshift camps at the Haitian border that were home to thousands of people who had fled for their lives. Many had never been to Haiti before, and they didn't know where to go. They'd taken shelter. They'd lived there their whole lives in Dominican Republic and then became illegal. Many had never been there before. They had taken shelter in shacks made of cardboard boxes, tree branches, old clothes, and whatever other scraps they could find. Food was scarce. The shacks frequently burned down. People were forced to get their water from a dirty river. He says he'd met a couple whose son had just died from cholera. Many in the camps told me they hoped the situation would soon calm down and they could return to the Dominican Republic. I doubt many have. According to Human Rights Watch, the Dominican government has only restored citizenship to about 19,000 of those denationalized in the 5 years since La Sentencia. Violence continues to break out between nationalists and people of Haitian descent along the border. Fear runs high, and one leader of the Dominican hard right has proposed building a border wall. Nor are there any clear signs that the purges and intimidations have helped non-Haitian Dominicans. Largely thanks to the fact that Americans and Europeans still flock to the country's all-inclusive resorts, the Dominican economy is still growing, although after COVID, I suspect that's not true anymore because people stopped traveling, so that may have changed things a little bit.
These migrants that are in the news right now, the Haitians that are coming over seeking asylum and getting whipped with actual whips by ICE agents on horseback.
And then sent back by the thousands to Haiti.
And then sent back in, like, I think it went up to 6,000. Anyways, I forgot where I was going with that.
I don't know. You were talking about getting whipped and rounded up.
Yeah, they're coming over the Texas border. Well, I left Texas in January. What does it have to do with me? What does it have to do with somebody, you know, who's always lived their life in Indiana? It has nothing to do with any of those people.
But it does when they're all being forced to pay for it.
But are they?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the federal government is forcing millions of people in this country who pay taxes to support this.
Anyone can force you to do anything.
Well, they can. I mean, if you don't pay them, they can put you in a cage. I mean, and even if you don't pay them, they can still force you to pay for it if you're using the dollar by inflating the money supply.
You know, Kirby and lots of other people who talk about these type of situations talk about us, the United States citizens, need to stand up and tell the government what we want them to do, i.e., we want them to turn around these Haitian immigrants or whatever it is that
we... That seems to be what they're doing.
What we want them to do. Whatever it is that the United States citizens, especially like Republicans, want in that moment. We need to stand up and tell our government what we want because we pay them.
I got 6 grandchildren. One of them was vaccinated at the age of 18 months.
Wow.
And she became autistic.
It wasn't with the COVID... vaccine, right?
No,
it was MMR.
The standard MMRI, measles, mumps, and rubella.
Okay.
And, you know, things we've all had, you know, akin to the polio shot. Things that are not supposed to affect us. But, yeah, anyway, she ended up being autistic. Evidently, there's 4 different levels. Well, she's an L2. And she's got ADHD, she's got ADD, she's got PTSD, she's got developmental disorders. And today, my daughter and her child's father were both pretty well large framed. They were short. My daughter's not short, but anyway. So this child at this point going crazy is you're dealing with a baby Huey.
And, what do you mean, Baby Huey?
You've never seen the cartoon. You don't know who Baby Huey is.
You mean Who Framed Roger Rabbit? No.
No.
Something
this
else.
Is before. This is back in Warner Brothers or one of them days.
Huey, I forget.
Anyway, I'm sure I've seen the character. I just don't remember
who. It's a very large, out-of-control subject.
I did receive the usual vaccinations of a child of the 80s, so nowhere near as many as they give to kids today. I'm okay, thank goodness. But there's a lot of people that do believe that that vaccinations lead to autism, and I presume that they've looked at some level of evidence for this. Now, of course, correlation isn't necessarily causation, so you can't really say for sure, but there's some interesting correlations there.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of an anomaly. I'm a libertarian female who was born in 1996, and I'm not autistic.
Right, yeah. And we took the test online.
I never got any of the shots, so correlation's not causation,
why.
But...
Yeah, who
just
knows?
Kidding. Who knows? Who actually knows? But I think he was also getting to another point. He was going to say that there's a man behind the curtain helping immigrants end up in the United States under the bridge in Texas. I don't even think those are Haitians. Like, those are two separate groups he was putting together. But I don't know. I just think that
I've heard that the people under the bridge are Haitians, aren't they?
Oh, they are? Oh, I don't know.
I don't know either. It's hard to keep track of all the news.
Yeah, it is hard to keep track of the news. I thought he was mixing two together. I just think that there shouldn't be interference at all with this, you know, situation. There should just be people allowed to come in who are allowed to work.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.